Welcome back to the D3 Golf Guys podcast. All right, folks, we are back. Another really great week in Division 3 and another interesting week when it comes to rankings. Well, wait, not rankings. We'll go back to the ones from last week. It keeps getting more interesting every week. But first, a note from our friends at Titleist. It's Masters Week, and the number one ball at the Masters is the Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X. Look, if you're not already playing Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X, where are you? What are you doing? Titleist is the number one brand in golf for a reason. If you aren't already trying out everything Titleist, I encourage you to do that. They're the best things on the market today, from clubs to equipment to balls. It's just incredible. So go find your local retailer or your Titleist group today and hit them up, because you will not be sorry. All right. A great week in Division 3. Let's hit some results first, and then we're going to talk about the clipped rankings that came out and were bizarrely weird, and then were taken down and then put out again. And I delayed the podcast for a day because I really wanted to get into it, and I think I have a better understanding of where my issue is. So we'll get into that after the results. So let's start with the men this time. We'll save the ladies for the second half of the podcast tonight. Illinois Wesleyan hosted a two-day tournament in which they blitzed the field. A good field, though. So Illinois Wesleyan goes out and shoots 283, 285 at Weebring Golf Club in Weebring, in Ironwood, Illinois area. It was two courses, both pretty long. So good, a good tournament course structure. Illinois Wesleyan goes out, shoots 283, 285. So they go four under for the tournament. The Weebring course was a 71. The Ironwood course was 72. So that's where you have the differences there. They win by 24 strokes over Bethel, who everybody remembers. Bethel has got won the conference up in the Minnesota conference. So they're going to nationals. Illinois Wesleyan's B team finishes third, four back of Bethel. Three teams tied for fourth: Eau Claire, Aurora, and St. John's. Now, this is interesting. Aurora's got a different conference, so they got a chance to go to nationals. Eau Claire is actually pool B, and so this does not bode well for them, but nobody who beat them here is going to be really is going to be in pool B or C. But it's still kind of a performance where they go 297, 301. I think this is going to put them behind the eight ball when it comes to pool C. St. John's also finishes tied for fourth. They've also finished tied with Hope in there. This does not go great for St. John's either. 305, 293. Now, granted, they didn't lose to a bunch of the other teams in this tournament, but it's not great. Like, finishing second behind Illinois Wesleyan or even getting, you know, in that space with Bethel, fine. But it would have been all of them tying. I don't know how that's going to get treated, because nobody does. But, you know, if you could have put yourself in solo fourth and kind of taken care of a couple of these things, either St. John's and Eau Claire, I think that's good. But kind of running down the rest of the teams here, Hope, a nice performance by Hope. All right. They finished tied for fourth with St. John's, Aurora, and Wisconsin Eau Claire. Pretty good. Gustavus comes in eighth, just one back of that, tied for fourth. Wisconsin Stout, ninth. Milliken and Trine tied for 10th. Illinois Wesleyan C team, 12th, with DePaul University and Calvin University. Nebraska Wesleyan, 15th. Concordia, Minnesota, 16th. Carthage, 16th. Lake Forest, 16th. Wabash, 19th. Eau Claire's B team tied for 20th with Augustana. Central College, 22nd. Wheaton College, 23rd. Gustavus's B team, 24th. North Central College, 25th. It's a 37 teams in here. Sorry. Heartland Community College, 26th. Knox College, 27th. Augustana's B team, 28th. Illinois College, 29th. Carroll University tied for 30th. North Park University and Simpson College tied for 30th. Illinois College's B team, Fontbonne University, tied for 34th with Edgewood College. Milliken's B team, 36th, and St. Francis, Illinois, 37th. Whew, lots of names. So again, Illinois Wesleyan is, you know, they're the number 4 team in the country right now. Clearly, that's, you know, hard to argue with. You know, I think when I look at the men and look at the top 6, you could shuffle around 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7, and I wouldn't. I'd have a hard time arguing a lot of that. Nice performance by Nate Lockstercamp, though. He wins the tournament from St. John's, Minnesota. He goes 72-68. He finishes first, one shot in front of three others. Nick Amtman. I'm probably butchering this, Nick, so I apologize. Amtman. It's A-M-T-M-A-N-N. There's not enough vowels in this last name, but... Wisconsin from Wisconsin Clare goes 72-69. Griffin Paul from Illinois Wesleyan, 71-70. And Quinn Clifford from Illinois Wesleyan, 70-71. David Morton from Bethel University and Harold Dobenecker from Central College in Iowa both shoot one under, tied 5th. Bobby Bubin from Illinois Wesleyan, even par, solo 7th. Rajveer Sethi from Illinois Wesleyan, one over, solo 8th. Solo 9th was Gabe Benson from Concordia, Minnesota, two over. And then a whole bunch of people tied for 10th. Jack Verkotrin, Aurora, Jack Wellen, who was on the Bethel B team. Harrison Weddle from Nebraska Wesleyan. Mark Savanich from Trine University. Jack Brorine from Illinois Wesleyan. And Michael Spitzer, Illinois Wesleyan. So Illinois Wesleyan clearly cruises to this, but we're going to talk more about this tournament as we get into some of the rankings. And as I'm starting to kind of go through more and more of the rankings, we'll talk more about this one in contrast to a couple others. Okay. On the East Coast, we had the 51st Camp Lejeune Championship, which is a great tournament. It's a really unique format where it's a kind of a pro-am, where you get two of the college kids playing with retired Marines. It's actually held on Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, which is the largest expeditionary force in the country, which means if there's something going on, they're the first ones there. And it's a great tournament. It shines a wonderful light on our military brethren. And it usually is a fun tournament to go play because it's good food and good camaraderie and a fabulous golf course. This year, the women got to play on the shorter course. So only the men only played the big course. Used to kind of have a big course day, a short course day. That is no longer the case. But three rounds in this one. The Oglethorpe University Stormy Petrels back up their big win at Jekyll with a win at Camp Lejeune. They shoot 286, 282, 293 for a 3-under total and win by 14 shots over Lynchburg. Lynchburg, nice performance also, 299, 286, 290 to finish solo second. Hey, look at this. Our guys at Husan show up at third. Awesome performance, 300, 290, 296. Very good performance by those guys. Solo third. Solo fourth was Averett University. One shot back of them. 299, 295, 293. Very consistent for those guys. Our guys at Babson finished solo fifth. They actually fell 3 spots on the last day. They just did not play very good on the last day. 289, 291, 308 the last day. That 308 really, really hurt them. So, but, you know, I otherwise good performance. Guilford finishes 6th. So again, continuing some of their, you know, lifeline sightings, they finished 2 shots back of Babson. Roanoke 7th, Christopher Newport 8th, William Peace University 9th, Bridgewater and North Carolina Wesleyan tied for 10th, Drew University 12th, Randolph-Macon 13th, Shenandoah and Rose Holman tied for 14th, Skidmore 16th, Virginia Wesleyan 17th, Pfeiffer 18th, and then the Apprentice School in Camp Lejeune has a team that finish out the teams. Special congratulations to Tomas Amaya of Babson on his hole-in-1 on the 17th on the goal course. Tomas, maybe you needed to be trying to do that over the one weekend when you guys were trying to raise some funds up there. But hey, congratulations on a hole-in-1. Again, hole-in-1s all over the place in Division 3. On an individual basis at Camp Lejeune, we had a tied for first, Killian O'Reilly from Averett and Michael O'Sullivan for Oglethorpe, which I thought was funny because it was like, wait, I thought we already had St. Patrick's Day with the O'Sullivan and O'Reilly playing off for that. Killian O'Reilly did win the playoff individually, so he got the big trophy there. But nice playing out of both of them. Both finished the tournament 3 under. Michael O'Sullivan goes 72-72-69, while Killian O'Reilly finishes 73-69-71. Elliot Parker from Drew University, solo third. Shane Quinn and Jackson Hiller. Shane Quinn from Babson and Jackson Hiller from Oglethorpe tied fourth, both at 1 under. Eddie Coffer in the fifth finishes even, solo sixth. Ryan Dunn from Oglethorpe, solo seventh. James Alden from Guilford, solo eighth. We had two tied at ninth, Oliver Patton, Guilford College, and Jack King from Hassan. We had three tied at 11th at John Baldwin from Babson, Chris Capupilla from Hassan. I probably messed that one up, Chris, sorry. And Ian Williams from William Peace University right there. So we had two others tied for 14th, Alan Van Ash from Lynchburg and Sam Carman from Oglethorpe. So a pretty good performance there. Our guy, Will Kavanaugh from Hassan, tied for 25th. So pretty good playing there. And our other buddy, Sean Fitzgerald from Babson, also tied for 25th. So lots of people we knew at this tournament, great tournament. But again, I think it's a really nice win for Oglethorpe, as they kind of distance themselves a little bit. And this will be another one we talk about later, but a nice follow-up to that big win in Jekyll. And I think that probably solidifies Oglethorpe solidly is, you know, in the top 3 to 4 of the country right now. I don't think anybody's kind of at the Methodist Emory level, but they've got just as good as argument as anybody else to be 3, 4, or 5 at this point. Okay, moving on. We also had the Rhodes Spring Classic in Millington, Tennessee, where the Center College Colonels come away with the win. They finish 22 over, 294, 297, 295. They beat Rhodes by 5 shots. Rhodes finishes solo second, 289, 306, 296. Belhaven University third, Dallas fifth, fourth, Hendricks College fifth, Rhodes' B team sixth, Brescia University seventh, and Grinnell College also tied for seventh with Asbury University solo and final ninth position. On the individual basis, Harrison Akers from center wins the tournament at 5 over, 74, 73, 74. Luke Couch from Belhaven University finishes solo second. Several tied for third, Avery Stansel from Rhodes, Will Justice from Belhaven, Josh Phillips from Rhodes, and Foster Wood from Rhodes. So, you know, it's interesting here. Rhodes had 3 really good scores. They just couldn't get that fourth one in there. We had several tied at 7. William Baker from Hendricks College, Brett Cooper from center, and Will Fegan from Rhodes as well. And we had a slew of people tied for 10th. Dylan McGrath from center, Aaron Munger from Brescia University, Charlie Reber from Center College, Rex Soule from Dallas, and Joshua Peters from Center College all tied for 10th. so that was the Rhodes Spring Classic. We got lots of tournaments going on, so we're moving through these pretty quickly. We also had the West Region Invitational. It was held at Berry Creek Country Club. And the interesting thing here was this was held during the eclipse. And so they actually had like a 30-minute delay scheduled in the tournament for when the eclipse went over. There were some interesting pictures of the tournament. It was in that area of Texas where they had a pretty good coverage of the eclipse. But Trinity's men come out on top. They beat Texas at Dallas by 1. They go 305-290 in the 2-round tournament. Texas at Dallas goes 308-288. So they almost came all the way back. There in that last round, both Trinity and Texas at Dallas moved way up after that first round. Southwestern University finished a solo third. They actually had the first round lead with 297, but then came in with 303 at the end. Really got passed up a little bit there. Mary Harden Baylor finishes solo fourth, 3 shots back of Southwestern. Mary Harden's B team only finished 3 shots back of their A team. Texas Lutheran 6th, Concordia, Texas 7th. They dropped five spots. They were 304 the first day and then 316 the second day. St. Thomas, Texas 8th, Hardin-Simmons 9th, and Southwestern's B team 10th. as we look over on the individual side, Jacob Mason from Trinity, 7 under total. Really outstanding play. Goes 70-67. I think Jacob's putting a really good case together for being an individual at Nationals. I don't know that Trinity can get there. They're going to have to win their conference, but if they don't, I think Jacob's probably putting himself up there. As we talk about individual rankings, he's in that spot where a lot of the other guys up there are probably not in line for an individual bid. They're probably going to be going with their team. So really nice play in there. He wins by five shots over two players. Toby Wills from Texas Lutheran and Ethan Bridges from Southwestern University. Two tied for fourth, Parker McCurdy from Texas at Dallas and Darian Ruiz from Mary Harden Baylor. Solo six with Bryce Steinmart from Southwestern University. Solo seventh, Grant Carter from Mary Harden Baylor. And then several tied for eighth, Ian Clough from Mary Harden Baylor, Daniel Schaffner from Texas at Dallas, Trey Archer from Mary Harden Baylor, Parker Smith from Concordia University, and Cole Wiley, who was playing as an individual at Texas at Dallas. So again, another good tournament result there. As we kind of get through that, the men's stuff, nothing really shocking, I think, here. I was a little surprised by St. John's not playing a little bit better. But I mean, five, six shots is all that separated Bethel and that group at tied for fourth. So I think it was good playing. I Wisconsin Eau Claire is probably kicking themselves. They shoot 301 that last day. They had a chance to really kind of just be behind Illinois Wesleyan and give themselves a leg up in the Midwest from a Pool C perspective. But this one didn't hurt, but it didn't help as much. I think Lynchburg had a nice tournament at Camp Lejeune. That helps them. Babson finishing fifth, I think, puts them way down the list from a Pool C perspective that I think will hurt. I think when you look at the Rhodes Spring Classic, Rhodes really needed to win this one after their great performance at Jekyll. There's another tournament coming up in Memphis that I think will be another chance for them to succeed against some other bigger teams. In the Texas region, I think Trinity's good. Mary Harden Baylor, I was a little disappointed in how they kind of came in there. But I think when you look at it, this is going to be about who wins conference. I don't know that a Pool C is getting to the Dallas region for the men. Okay, let us move on to the ladies tournaments for the last little bit. And let's start with one of the bigger ones, the Max and Susan Stith Invitational, hosted at the Dominion Club in Glen Allen, Virginia. Our friend Coach Hearn at Randolph-Macon is the host, and they put on a really nice event. And I got to see some pictures and stuff, and really, really great. And it was a great field. So, all right, coming in, we've got everybody at the top of the board you want at that tournament. Carnegie Mellon wins the tournament. They go 290 and have a big lead after the first day, and then 299. They end up beating Emory, who finishes solo second by 21 shots. They go 301, 297. So Carnegie and Emory kind of separate, but this is another win for Carnegie over Emory. And I think that's a big one. I would say Carnegie has kind of put themselves at the top of the chart for me when it comes to the national rankings, right? Like Carnegie's kind of delivered a whole bunch here in the spring and they've got it rolling. And Coach Rogers is probably pretty happy with his squad. Emory is also very good. And there's a clear delineation between those teams and the other people here. Washington and Lee finishes third, but it's a pretty distant third. Here's a nice surprise. Methodist shows back up here for the ladies. They finish solo fourth. Now, it's still weird for me to see Methodist at four, but at least we're starting to see a little bit of life here. But 309, 312, I just expect a little better out of the Methodist team than that. I thought a really nice performance was the gang from Adrian College who came down. 316, 311, nice performance out of the team from up north, coming to Virginia, getting to play in this tournament. A really nice, solid fifth place finish there. Solo 6 with Rhodes College women. 7th was Center College. 8th was the ladies at Lynchburg, who have got some awesome stickers on their Yetis and all over the place up there. We saw them down at Jekyll. Huntington College ladies come in at 9th. Randolph-Macon's team, 10th. Denison, 11th. Christopher Newport, 12th. York College, 13th. Berry College, 14th. And the ladies from Transylvania University are at 15th. On an individual basis, again, this was really lots of really good play here. Katie Park from Emory University goes 71-69 for 4-under and wins by 6 shots. But then here comes the Carnegie group, which is why they won by a lot. Alexis Sajanto, solo second, 72-74, 2-over. Sriya Maparaju from Carnegie Mellon, solo third. Kaylin Yao and Samantha Wang from Carnegie Mellon tied for 4th. So one Emory person won the tournament. Then the next 4 places are all Carnegie Mellon. That's how you blow out a whole bunch of this. But interesting enough, solo 6th is Emily Gresham from Methodist. Solo 7th is Natalie Brozig from Methodist. So now all of a sudden, like, okay, well, we got 2 people playing for Methodist. So that's one of the reasons why we saw them up there. We need to find 2 more. 3 tied at 8th, Riley Kleck from Adrian, Cindy Wang from Emory, and Morgan Moussat from Randolph-Macon, who we got the chance to talk to when we were down at Jekyll. So nice playing out of Morgan there. And also Lauren Reed from Adrian College tied for 8th, along with Ellen Wong from Washington and Lee. So, you know, interesting to kind of watch the movement across some of these things. Also tied for 13th were 3 others, Janie Morgan from Center, Heeju Hyun from Emory, and Ann Schellmeyer from Washington and Lee. So great tournament. And again, I think, it tells me a couple of things. One, Carnegie is the real deal, and Coach Dan is really looking at a back-to-back and potentially with women coming in and here and being one of the ones to beat. When I look at the women's game right now, Pomona is really kind of done enough to be in that top category, and Carnegie continues to deliver. I think Emory's still dangerous, but I think there's a bit of separation there. But we'll keep watching, and that'll be interesting. But a great tournament, great field, and we love to see that. All right. Elsewhere, the Camp Lejeune hosted the women's tournament. And of course, we have a hole in one there. Caitlin Shabbat from Husan gets a hole in one on the number 7 course on the Scarlet course. So congratulations, Caitlin. But the Rose Holman ladies end up winning the tournament, which is awesome. And then solo 2nd is Babson College, followed by Oglethorpe University's women, Bridgewater College 4th, Averett 5th, Virginia Wesleyan 6th, Pfeiffer 7th, Suffolk University 8th, Shenandoah 9th, Husan 10th, and Meredith College 11th. But a nice performance there out of those ladies. Individually, Laura Liu from Babson wins by 1 over Caroline Tamberstoon from Averett and Michaela Aikida from Rose Holman. Solo 4th was Elizabeth Powell from Oglethorpe University. Juliet Coffey, Virginia Wesleyan, solo 5th. Solo 6th was Sophia Martone from Bridgewater. And solo 7th was Rachel Sim from Babson. 2 tied for 8th, Elizabeth Ma, Rose Holman, and Precious Salih from Rose Holman. And solo 10th was Sophia Moratini from Oglethorpe University. Okay, we had a couple more tournaments here, and then we can kind of get into rankings. At the West region with the their women had a West region. Also, there's only 3 teams there. So it was Texas at Dallas, Trinity, and Southwestern. Texas at Dallas wins by 6, over Trinity, which was interesting to me. Southwestern finishes a distant 3rd. But when I looked at Trinity, I didn't see kind of the player that's been pacing them all year. And that would be Alejandro Sanchez de la Fuente Molino. So I don't know why she wasn't at that tournament, but she's been pacing them for a lot of the time. And so it's interesting that she was not at that tournament and they lose to Texas at Dallas. Again, not sure that the clipped rankings are going to take that into account, but that's only a 3-team tournament. I'll be very interested to see what kind of points come out of this one. But nice playing by the ladies at Texas at Dallas, 301-297. They win by 6 shots. Very good. All right. on an individual basis, you know, we look and go, Jessica Mason from Trinity shoots even par, 74-70, wins by one over Sophia Trevino from Texas at Dallas. Keona Hsiung from Trinity, two over, solo third. Maddie Vilvin from Texas Dallas, fourth. Mia Gabarriau from Texas at Dallas, fifth. Aaron Flynn and Riley Erickson, Aaron Flynn from Trinity and Riley Erickson from Southwestern tied for sixth. Karen Lee from Texas at Dallas and Sloan Panter from Southwestern tied for eighth. Rachel Harris from Southwestern tied for 10th. Okay, and last but certainly not least, the Illinois Wesleyan, the Wash U team had a spring invitational where the Illinois Wesleyan ladies win by six over Wash U. Illinois Wesleyan ladies come out and go 296-308. They win by six over Wash U's ladies, who go 306-304. Wash U's B team finishes third, followed by McAllister College fourth, and then Carleton College fifth, which I found very interesting. But I didn't see Carter Sickle in that lineup either, which, you know, when you take out your number one player, so I don't know if that injuries pop back up or, you know, we couldn't make the tournament or what, but interesting there. That won't bode well for Carleton in when it comes to national selection. With as few of outside selections as there are in the women's game, you don't want to lose one like that, and Carleton's been pretty good all year. DePaul University, sixth. Wisconsin Whitewater, 7th. Illinois Wesleyan's B team, 8th. North Central College, 9th. Gustavus, 10th. Augustana, 11th. Illinois College, 12th. And Millikan, 13th. when we get to the individuals on those ladies, Sydney Kuo from Wash U wins with a really nice one-over tournament, 72-73. Bailey Langfelder from McAllister finishes solo 2nd, 74-73 for a 3-over total. Lexi Onsrud from Illinois Wesleyan, solo 3rd at 4 over. We had two tied at 4th, Becky Williams from DePaul University and Emma Thorman from Illinois Wesleyan, both 6 over. Tiffany Chan from Wash U, solo 6th. Jackie O'Neill from Illinois Wesleyan, 7th. Solo 8th was Mackenzie Cassetta from Wash U, and two tied for 9th, Amy Beanblossom from Wash U and Jaden Spinks from Illinois Wesleyan. And then two tied for 11th, Macy Ludwig from Illinois Wesleyan and Cynthia Liu from Carleton. Okay. So, and saying the name Carleton reminds me that I do have a mea culpa to the guys at not Willamette University. It's Willamette University. So, you guys in the Pacific Northwest that like to listen, my bad. I like wines from there. I should know better than it's Willamette. But okay. So that's sort of the results. We had lots of results over the last, we had tournaments everywhere. We were tracking and doing everything, holes in one and everything else. But so I was anxiously awaiting the rankings to come out, right? Because, okay, we had Jekyll come out, and then we're going to have all the next set of tournaments where Illinois Wesleyan and Oglethorpe win again. And when the rankings come out Wednesday, all of a sudden the numbers are off the charts. I start to dig in, and all of a sudden every number's been revised. It's hundreds of points all over the place, and it is chaos. I tweeted something out about it, and within like an hour, Clip was like, something messed up. We're pulling it back. We're going back to the other ones. And a couple hours later, they finally put it back out. Like, oh, we fixed everything. Okay. So here's where I'm trying to understand. And I think I'm starting to figure out where my problems are. I used to think that the issue was that they were not giving enough points to the big tournaments. That's not true. So when I look at a tournament like Illinois Wesleyan's tournament, they only issued out like 160-something points, right? And for Jekyll, it was over 400 points. So I think when I look at this, my issue is the points for like finishing ninth at the Jekyll tournament were good. Like that's what you should get if you finish ninth at that tournament out of 30, and it's a really great field, right? My issue is we're giving away too many of the points to the teams that win the lesser field events. I can actually use this exact example within the Oglethorpe schedule. Okay. So Oglethorpe, you know, plays in the West Pines early on. Good tournament, you know, not a great tournament, 17 teams in the field, but it's not to the level that Jekyll was. So, but they got 67.86 points. Now, the only reason why they didn't get all of those is because it was only a 2-round tournament. Now, Illinois Wesleyan just played their tournament and blitzed the field and got 60-something points also, but it was a 2-round tournament, and they only get 40-something points. Had either one of those been a 3-round tournament, this would have been really, really kind of egregious, and I'll explain why. The whole thing around these rankings is a concept of strokes gained. And so in a conversation I had with a coach, you know, it used to be you're up 2 going into the last hole. Your job is play it safe, win the thing, right? And then you get credit for winning. But strokes gained would tell you that, no, you need to win by 4, not 2. So you need to try to make birdie or try to hole out for eagle, because winning by 4 is better than winning by 2. So there's some of that's in here. And so when you see some of these disparate rank point distributions, it usually involves one team shooting under par and nobody else being able to do that. Whereas when you look at Jekyll, where you have a lot of weather and a lot of really good teams, there's not as much separation and they were all over par. And so there's not a big disparate. So when you look at like other big tournaments, like Savannah, well, Emory and Methodist really drove hard and got under par big. They got like 60 some points on, you know, 90 points, 80 points, 70 points. And so it's encouraging us to do the wrong things. And hear me out. So within Oglethorpe's schedule, they get 45 points for their win at West Pines. They only got 44 points for the win at Jekyll, which is bizarre, right? They only got 37 points for their win at Camp Lejeune. There's enough teams at Camp Lejeune similarly that, you know, you would say at West Pines you had, you know, other good teams there. Why wouldn't they get the same level of points that they had at? That's very similar. Oglethorpe was under par. Nobody else was under par. And so my issue is wait, we have like rules for some things, but not for other things, right? And I think what I'm looking at it is my issue is there's too many points being awarded for teams winning a lesser event. I don't understand. Like, look, Illinois Wesleyan played great. It had 4 or 5 really good teams in that field. There's a lot of other good teams in there, but like ranked teams in the top 25, you had St. John's, Aurora, Eau Claire, like Bethel, good. But that was not even close to the field that was in Jekyll, and they got 60-something points for that win. The only reason why it came down was because they only played 2 rounds, right? So Illinois Wesleyan only get 44.53 points, 0.01 more than Oglethorpe got for Jekyll. I don't understand how that can be the case unless what we're talking about is, nope, it's about you have to make just beat the field by a ton, regardless of how good the field is. Now, again, I just told you, I did the math. There was fewer points for a total points available in the Illinois Wesleyan tournament. There were way more points available in the Jekyll. That is good. That's what it should be. But the issue I have is, we're awarding too many of those, a much higher percentage of the points to the teams that win the lesser field events, right? So if it was 160 points in the Illinois Wesleyan one and they're getting 66 of them, well, they're getting like a whole bunch when Oglethorpe's getting like 10% of it in the big one. And like, I just don't understand the reasoning behind that. And also, like, look, it's also encouraging us to do the wrong things, right? I shouldn't go, if I'm a D3 coach at D3 University, right? I shouldn't want to go play Jekyll, because look, even if I win it, I'm only getting 44 points. I can go play a lesser field event, especially if I know I can outclass most of the people in that event and get under par, and I don't think anybody else can, and I'm going to get a bunch of points. And I just don't think that's the right thing to do. We've seen that in other areas where we had like people in dual matches getting way bigger points because they shot under par and were playing a far lesser team in a dual match, right? Like, hold on, that shouldn't happen. But I think my issue is we're issuing a lot of points in fields that aren't that. But again, it's, but then you look at like Savannah and you're looking, I'm looking at Savannah right now. I've got everything printed out in front of me. And at Savannah, Methodist gets 71 points, right? Emory gets 62 points. Okay, but like the Savannah field was good, but it wasn't as good as the Jekyll field. But they got significantly more points. And the only difference is they were vastly under par. And so I look at that and say, wait a minute. It like, what were the conditions? Like, great. Like somebody shot way under par. Why we're punishing teams that win a really windy, rainy, hard golf course tournament with a much better field that everybody's playing the same elements versus, oh, it was a beautiful 2 days and we played in dome golf and we're able to make every birdie we wanted to. Also, like, what about the course? Are we paying from like 6,900 yards? Are we paying from 6,400 yards? How much does that impact it? Like, it's just not clear and transparent to how this is working. And I just don't know that it's hitting the mark. And so it made me feel better to see the amount of points at Jekyll. And when I started looking down the columns, I felt pretty good about the points for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But I can't reconcile the people who win a tournament like that versus people just within Oglethorpe's own thing. They win West Pines and they get slightly more points than they did at Jekyll. That doesn't compute to me. Especially when you consider they got 60 something because it was only a two round field. Had they played a third round, they would have gotten like 20 more points. And so again, it appears to be encouraging the wrong kinds of things. To me, winning is more important than going crazy low. But maybe that's what the NCAA is in trying to encourage us to do. The other thing I will say, obviously somebody at Clip is listening to some of the stuff we're talking about, because on the individual side of things, the B team players are out of there. Now, there's still a few things in here that are a little funky, but the random B team person who won a B team tournament field is out. There's still a couple of that stuff kind of hanging in there. I don't know if we went through and said there's a minimum number of events you have to be in order to be ranked, which I would hope there would be. There's still a few anomalies within that space that I think need to be addressed, to the point that it's like, hey, look, if a guy's struggling to make the lineup at his team and he's ranked inside the top five, that would seem to be a weird thing, especially if it was a B team tournament. So again, I they're starting to get there. I know we're going to have to be patient with some of this stuff, but it's a weird kind of view from a rankings perspective. And for the snafu of the rankings go haywire and then all of a sudden we come back to it, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But when I look at the rankings for, let's just focus on the men for now. And look, a lot of this translates between both the men and the women. Methodist is one, Emory's two. I don't have any problem with that, but they are so far distance from Oglethorpe, who has just won the last two events. And Emory and Methodist were in the big one. And so I look at that and go, okay, Carnegie finished way up there too. Like, Carnegie and Oglethorpe have zero chance of catching Methodist and Emory. Like, there's just too many points. Unless they can go, like, find a Division I tournament to play in and get a bunch of points, like, which, again, I don't think we're encouraging the right stuff there. So anyway, I think that's what I look at when I'm looking at those points. It doesn't, like, it's supposed to be weighted But the weighting is not it. The weighting is basically if you play a one round event, you only get a third of the points. If you play a two round event, you get 2/3 of the points. If you play a 3-round event, you get three, you know, all of the points. Okay, but that doesn't really help me because you're still giving 60 points out to guys playing in a tournament that's less than, you know, half the field and significantly less strength of schedule. I just don't understand that. And so to me, the issue is, I think we're either giving too many points to the winners of the smaller strength of schedule events, or we're not including enough in the big ones. The big ones, I think, feel about right. But also, like, if you blow somebody out, does that help you? I guess I come from a world where, you know, a W is a W. And whether you won by 15 or you won by 5, it doesn't really matter. Like, it does in golf, right? We've always talked about stroke differential and things like that. But like, I've been to enough golf tournaments where it's like, yeah, they played awesome today. They shot 295, 7 over. Well, yeah, because it was 30-mile-an-hour winds. We were pulled off the golf course twice and was raining the whole day. Versus, oh, yeah, it was absolutely perfect. There's no wind, no nothing. The pins were all in easy positions, funnel pins. And I like, how do you equate for that? And how do you equate for that in different arenas, different golf courses at different times? And that's where I kind of go back to strokes gain and some of this stuff was built for professional golfers who play the same events all the time. And they play similar conditions. I guarantee you there was not the same weather at Camp Lejeune as there was in Illinois Wesleyan's tournament. And so how do you equate those two things? Well, if we're just giving people credit for under par, well, then I'm going to start setting, if I'm hosting a tournament, I'm going to set it up to where I'm going to put every funnel pin and easy pin out there so we can make as many birdies as we can so that everybody gets a whole bunch of points so that we're under par. Right, you shouldn't play a hard golf course, and you have to make sure the weather's perfect. I just don't think that the numbers that are being dished out are inconsistent, right? You know, when I look at like Gate City was the first big tournament of the year, right? Emory goes out and goes crazy, right? Like they just go nuts. They're 21 under par. Oglethorpe is finishes second and they're 5 under. Emory got double the points that Oglethorpe did. Whereas Oglethorpe finishes first at Jekyll and they got slightly more points than second place. Right? Like, wait a minute. How does that happen? Right? Like you look at it and you go, okay, Carnegie Mellon finished second. They got 35. Oglethorpe got 44. You know, that Oglethorpe won by 5 shots, but it was over par. And so it's like, wait a minute. Did you win the tournament or not? And it's like, okay, but they won by so much, you get way more points. Okay, well then, what is that telling us? What should I be trying to achieve, right? Like, if I'm playing in a really good tournament, the margins are smaller. And like, if I look at like the PGA Tour, you don't get more FedEx points if you win by 6 shots than if you win by 2, which like nobody else does it this way. And so that's where I go, hold on. Like, I think we're doing this the wrong way. And like I said, I think Carnegie deserves 35 points. Guilford deserved 34 points for finishing second and third at that tournament in Jekyll. That was a great tournament. You know what I mean? I mean, that was a great field, an absolutely great field. If I play in a lesser tournament field, I shouldn't be getting as many points. And if you look outside of first, you're getting 10, 16, here you go. Okay, so that appears to be right, but why is the first place team getting so much of an outsized portion? It's because usually it's a really good team like Illinois Wesleyan who stomps on everybody and is under par when nobody else is under par. Like, and that's just where you look and go, okay, they won by 24 shots, so they get more points because they won by a lot. I just don't know that that's the right thing to do. I'm interested in what you guys think, you know, but as we get into more and more here, you know, we're going to, in the next couple of weeks, I got to start talking about Pool C, and it's going to be hard to start talking about Pool C when, well, okay, how many points did people get? You know, if you look at that Illinois Wesleyan's tournament, right? Like, okay, how many points does everybody get in that tournament? You know, so Illinois Wesleyan gets 44 points only because they had two rounds. They had 66 awarded. Bethel finishes second. They get 14. They played fine. They didn't play as good as Illinois Wesleyan, but, you know, they didn't play bad. They were 20 over par, fine. But like Aurora finishes fourth, but they get third place points. Like, here's the other thing I'll tell you. If you go through the team rankings, and this is where it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, if you go through some of these things, like people who got in front of other people got less points, which I was shocked by. Shocked to see, like, wait a minute. How come some of these people got weird points? Like, clearly there's been an error somewhere in here. So I don't know if that's been cleaned up. It may not have been yet. Oh, yeah, here. Perfect. Perfect example. At Jekyll, right? At Jekyll tournament, Rhodes finishes. Wait, which? Yeah, at Jekyll. First of all, Roanoke College, right? Roanoke College just has a great last day, and they jump 9 spots up to 17th. They got 8.7 points. They beat Christopher Newport by 3 shots. Christopher Newport got 9.07 points. Explain that one to me. Right? Like, okay, clearly that's a mistake. Has anybody caught it? Here's another one. Southwestern has a great final day and ties for 11th with Sewanee, Kenyon, and Claremont Mud Scripps. Sewanee, Kenyon, and Claremont Mud Scripps all have 17.67 points. Southwestern only has 14.95. So by the way, Southwestern coach, if you're listening, you should call somebody, because I don't know why that is the case. Are we penalizing teams because they played, didn't get off to a good start, but then played great at the end? Why would you get less points if you tie? I don't know. But there's a good example of some of the inconsistencies within this. And I've heard it from other people across all of college golf. But that's the other big thing I saw, was we're not even appears to be distributing the points correctly. Because if you tie with people, you should get the same amount of points, regardless of whether or not you played great the first day or great the last day, right? Like, so look, it's getting better, but man, when you see this kind of stuff, when you actually start to dig in, it's hard to buy in to say, and oh yeah, no problem. All right, folks, look, we've got Nationals is barreling down the path right at us. We've got conferences coming up. We've got other big tournaments coming up. So there's this coming week, the Shoals Invitational that's going to be hosted by Emory, and then also the Cochran Collegiate in Rhodes. Those are the two next big ones that I'm looking for next week. There's one more big one out next the following week from the ladies' side. That'll be the Amherst Invitational for the Lit Women. And then we're getting into conference play, and then we're doing nationals. So buckle up. We're going to be talking about more rankings and starting to try to put together who do we think is going to be in nationals. We're going to kind of assume some stuff in conferences, and then when conference play starts, and we'll walk everybody through is kind of the big conferences to keep an eye on. As we start to go through that process, it's going to keep getting tighter and tighter. So Another good week of D3 golf. Hang in there, gang. We're almost there, but it is getting more and more exciting by the minute. So with that, we'll say, hit them straight. Cheers. Maybe. Yes, sir.